CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Yes. Happy Monday. Let's acknowledge the space that we're in. We do have a full week ahead of us, but you know what, you guys? As long as we're acknowledging the space that we're in, like, that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah, and it's really all you can do in a situation like this when you do have the whole week ahead of you. So it's not the best space to acknowledge.
But if we do acknowledge it, we can rise, we can grind, we can hustle, and we can make today our bitch because we are rising and grinding. Rose and groaned.
Yeah, no, we could rise and grind. I did kind of rose and groan today.
I did.
I woke up earlier than usual, like, so I had time to, like, put on a necklace.
Mm-hmm. I was noticing your necklace.
But then I forgot, like, my rings. So, you know, it's like,
So you're getting divorced?
Can't win them all. Oh, of course. Every other day that I forget to put my rings on. No, my rings are in a different place than, like, the rest of my jewelry box.
So, why?
Because I wear them every day and I don't go into my jewelry box that often.
Got it. I got a new tray.
I don't really wear a lot of jewelry, but today I was like, this outfit could use a little something. Something that's kind of bland.
That's like a me outfit. Bland.
I
know.
Well, I just have been dressing like it's spring and it's fully not.
It's not today.
And I just am, like, done looking and feeling stupid and cold.
But you know, we're in an interesting position where this studio is literally a hot box.
It's a blaze.
But outside it's fucking freezing. So I just don't know how to, like,
acknowledge this space.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that you and I, like, got the same memo today. Of, like, I'm done trying to make spring happen. It's not going to happen. I'm, like, always walking around in, like, a little pink thing, like, freezing with, like, pollen up my nose, just, like, looking so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Fall vibes. Fuck it.
Fall vibes. Fuck it. That's the name of today's episode. And no, I literally put my winter boots in storage and then took them out. Like, I just reverse spring cleaned because it's, like, not spring.
No, my loafers are, like, of a wool material.
No, you are woolly vibes today.
Woolly vibes only.
I'm also moosey vibes today. I've come to the conclusion that, like, in the last month, I've literally put on, like, 15 pounds. Somebody said to me,
I think you look so great.
Thank you. I mean, somebody said to me, do you get cheek filler? I'm like, no, I literally just gained weight. But she meant it as a compliment and I didn't take offense to it because, like, I can acknowledge a space that I'm in. Like, I have gained weight and it's like, how did we get here?
Yeah. No,
my face is just, like, looking so pizza recently that, like, that's how I know, like, big girls in town. You know?
Everybody has their tells.
Big, like, pizza faces me.
For me, it's just, like, how many times people are going to guess that I'm pregnant. I'm like, nope, just fat.
But that's not about your weight. That's just, like, people, like, can't get over the fact that, like, me and Ben have been married for 4 years and, like, we ain't having a kid, like, anytime soon. But you know what? It's hard. It's easier for me because I actually am fat. Like, that is a real problem I face, not you.
No, but, like, I do.
I, too, by the way, I'm just backtracking because I had some things I wanted to share. I, too, rose and groaned this morning. I was very productive.
Tell us.
Blew out my hair, Dyson Airwrap. I'm like, I'm not there yet, but I still use it, you know? So I feel like I'm getting my money's worth. I know I'm supposed to use the curling attachment, but my hair is far too long for it. Like, it doesn't work. And I'm just, like, really struggling. So, but I'm working through it.
Did you see that new?
Yes.
Where you put your hair through the hole?
Oh, no. They make an extension of the curling wrap that's extra long for extra long hair. But it's like, excuse me, I just spent $600 on this item. Now I need to spend more money.
Send
I refuse.
It for free.
Send it for free. Seriously. Send it for free. Or at least let me customize my additions.
I totally agree. But no, did you see the one where you're supposed to put your hair through the hole?
I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Also, your hair's not that long. So, like, if it's too long for me, then who is it for?
100%. I also watched the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I also watched the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion this morning. Okay. Being very productive because I wanted to talk about it.
That is productive.
And I filmed another TikTok series for
you guys. Look at that cup.
Almost empty.
Tell us about it. I feel like this is something we can all get behind.
Yes. Okay, so this is from the Macro Barista. A lot of people have been tagging me in his recipes. Thank you so much. And he just, like, makes recipes for everyone, like whether you want something healthy, whether you want something caffeinated. So this is a nitro cold brew with a pump of hazelnut, 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla, and vanilla sweet cream cold foam. It is 95 calories, so therefore it is Jackie approved. And I'm not gonna lie, like, it does taste very good. It tastes a lot like coffee, but it's manageable.
Right.
And honestly, like, the second we started filming, my stomach started to hurt. So, like, I'm definitely going to make
it's
like
running a right through you.
Big old duty after this, which is really all I wanted. I'm feeling very energized. Like, if that's more possible than usual, I'm feeling more energized. So I really enjoyed this, and I encourage you to go take a look at my series that is being critically acclaimed. Like, honestly,
I heard Tribeca Film Festival, like, was reaching out to your people, like, hey, we want to get the series up at the film festival. What do you think?
I'm just taking it slow because it's been, like, a lot of, like, overwhelming response. But there's just, like, you know, the critics are quaking. Mm-hmm. Nicole Richie, like, literally commented that, like, she can't wait and she hopes I never stop doing the series.
Well,
and,
that's, like, that's
and
the
Gwyneth
thing.
Paltrow as well. I just wanted to put that out there. She commented twice. Did she? And I'm still waiting for her order.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be another part of the series, like, trying celebrities' Starbucks orders. Like,
100%.
And when GP gives me the official Goop recipe, I will try it. But 100%. She's just not, like, super communicative today.
But, like, that's the thing about this series where I feel like it's become bigger than you. And it's, like, not about finding the right coffee. It's because not. Technically, you just found it. Honestly. No,
and honestly, there was another one last week that I found as well. So, like, I have found, if I ever find myself, like, needing a coffee, I have a few really good recipes that there's two that, one of them got an 8 out of 10 last week. This one got a 6 out of 10. Now I'm kind of regretting it because it's growing on me, like, as I sit here. But I have found decent recipes. But the series is not really about the destination. It's more so about the journey.
Yeah, and now it's, like, even when you find the one, like, you can't stop. Like, everybody's waiting with bated breath. Like, what is she going to try next?
No, I know. And I also started another series that I keep forgetting to do, but I really need to do it, which is Here's What You Missed on the Morning Toast in 60 Seconds or Less. I think a lot of people really appreciated the brevity at which I wrapped up the morning toast, and I think it was great press for the toast. And I'm just really working on my TikTok/Reels game because that's the future of the industry, and I can't be left behind.
Yeah, no, you can't be, but I'm...
You're volunteering to stay behind.
No, I mean, I like watching other people's reels and stuff. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of, like, the people who...
But maybe if you had a company that you were passionate about...
If you had a coffee order that you were passionate about. No, but the people who, like, do sickening reels that I enjoy consuming, like, that is their full-time job.
And by the way, I have so much respect for it because for the last year, I've been on TikTok, like, as a hobby. But I've really taken it, to the next level in the last couple weeks. And it is a full-time commitment. Like, it is exhausting. Like, I go to bed and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, and then you get back on TikTok to see whatever to see what everyone else did that day.
Oh, and by the way, like, the time limit is still there, and I literally press ignore limit for today every single day.
Okay.
I might as well just take it off. It's so bothersome.
Yeah, because now you're spending more time on TikTok, like, pressing ignore.
But now it's work. Like, I used to just scroll TikTok endlessly, like, for pleasure, and I still do that, but I also spend a lot of time on my creative process.
Great. Well, we're so glad that you are working on your art.
So important.
It's so important to have passions. And this really is yours.
Yes. And also, I just wanted to wish you a happy Mother's Day. I'm sure Zach did not wish you a happy Mother's Day, much like Ben didn't wish me anything until he came home at 6:30 with flowers and a gift. It was an adult coloring book, which was very thoughtful. No card, but it's okay. I just felt like he had forgotten. And then when he was out, he was like, oh, I should get something for my deadbeat dog mom.
Yeah, no.
Did you get anything?
I did not get anything other than Brew's love. Mm. He told me, like, that.
But sometimes that's enough.
Yeah, no, that's really all I wanted from Brew. Like, he was just being so extra special, just, like, loving on mom. And I was so happy to receive his love.
It's a great day when you're receiving love from Bruno.
It's really so true.
I think, oh my God, I didn't even realize, first of all, Theo is sitting next to you, which is so unbelievably disrespectful, well, the day after Mother's Day, nonetheless.
No, I know. Well, I think, like, it's anti-day. It's always anti-day here at the Toast. No, but I feel like because haven't seen him in so long because of the weekend, he just, like, wanted to re-up with auntie, and then the rest of the week he'll be with you.
I just say, I feel like I literally took an Adderall. I'm, like, wired. I'm not really liking this feeling. I've never, in the last 10 days, I don't really drink the whole thing, but, like, I am fucking lit.
That's the cold brew for you.
I feel like I took it. I've, like, taken Adderall a few times in my life. Like, I feel like I just took one.
And isn't that what you wanted?
Like,
you
not really.
You want to dial it back a little?
Am I talking really fast?
I mean, you're just, like, your energetic self.
Are my eyes, like, crazy?
No.
They feel, like, crazy.
Oh, my God. Like, drinks coffee once.
No, literally. I'm fine.
Finally finishes her coffee.
I didn't even finish it.
Oh, God. Take it away from her.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm just feeling like it's a lot, you know?
Okay, well, great. You got what you wanted out of it. You said you're anxious. If things are running through you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have energy. That's literally.
Things are running through me. Panic. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Other than that, it was a fabulous weekend. I finished the book for the Redheads. We're recording today, so make sure to get your questions into the redheadsbookclub@gmail.com. I did a poll because my plan was to do a classic novel for our next book club book, but I've just been on this historical journey, like as everyone knows, and I kind of want to take the Redheads on it with me and choose a book that like I would be reading next, and like so everyone can see what I've been up to.
Yeah.
And I can always choose a classic. We all could choose a classic.
There's always time. That's why they're classics.
Right. They never go out of style. So that will definitely be in my back pocket, but I think for this month, I'm going to take you guys on this journey that I've been on.
I love that for you.
Thank
for
you.
For the community.
Thanks. I actually think the book that we just read, Twice in a Blue Moon by Christina Lauren, that's the book of the month, you would like.
Yes, I'm going to add that to my list. I'm currently, I haven't picked up my Kindle in a while, but I'm like in the middle of this like terrible book Margot told me about, but I keep thinking about, like, I wonder what the end is. So I feel like
what's the book?
I don't know the name. It's about like this girl who's a writer and she picks up this book and it's actually like, you know, someone telling her story from childhood, like from her POV.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like super spooky, like magical realism.
It was spookiness, but I was into it.
Very cool. By the way, I just wanted to let you know the new Sally Hepworth book is out.
I know.
And she's your fave. She wrote the mother-in-law.
I just have like so many books to read.
I know, but you're watching The Bold Type, which is why you haven't picked up your Kindle.
You guys, my weekend was so full, but all I remember was last night, like yesterday, for like 7 hours, I watched The Bold Type. First of all, it was so good because it was like major changes. I finished season one, cliffhanger, spoiler alert, Jane gets fired. She leaves her job at Scarlet and she gets fired from Incest. What's it called?
Insight.
And it was just like so good to seeing
Incest.
It was so good to like see someone getting exactly what they deserved.
I told you.
She's just running around town thinking she's literally, who's like a famous journalist? Dan Rather. And she's fucking not. Like, she's not at all. And she just has the worst judgment. She doesn't listen to her bosses. And she thinks like her.
No, she's a literal step up from an intern.
Like, yeah. She just became a writer 6 weeks ago.
No, like, she thinks she's the editor-in-chief.
Yeah, and she just, like, uses her judgment, and, like, it's bad judgment. So it was just, like, nice to see someone getting exactly what they needed, like, a big serving of humble pie. And it's also great to see, like, while she's flailing, you know, Sutton is thriving. Like, she's killing it as a fashion assistant. She's becoming friends with all these influencers. And then she, like, had to put $500 worth of drugs on her corporate card. That was crazy. And I actually was really enjoying the show for a multitude of reasons, but I feel like I did work at Hearst for 2 weeks as an intern before I was asked to leave. And I do have to say, they do really nail like the whole magazine culture and also like the PR, like what?
You would know from
my 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks. That was more than enough. I worked at Esquire magazine in like the men's closet. It was torture. I will never forget. I had like the 2 weeks there were filled with so many stories. There was like this head intern who thought like he was the shit. And like he kind of was because he had this inspiring story of how he had gotten the internship because he's been obsessed. It was literally like he was Jane. He's been reading Esquire since he was 12 back at home. And he had applied the traditional way and hadn't gotten any traction. And he like hand delivered his resume in this like, you know, hand bedazzled envelope. And, you know, everyone was so impressed he got the internship. He just tells the story like to everyone. And he was a know-it-all, but he did know it all. And like, so we did report to the head intern because he was like in charge. But he was just one of those people who was like correcting you and he was always right. Except one time we were like talking about celebrities and I was like Cara Delevingne and he's like, it's Cara Delevingne. And I'm like, actually, it's not. Like, that's what I remember. And I was like, he was such a know-it-all. And then that's why I left. But I did really get a good grasp of the corporate magazine culture and like the building. Hearst was an iconic place to be for 2 weeks. And I think they really nail it. And they also like kind of nail like the whole nightlife, except like the fact that they live in Greenpoint and they just like miraculously get to Midtown in 5 minutes every episode. That's the biggest plot hole.
Yeah, that's always what doesn't make sense in these shows. But for the sake of it, like I don't want to watch their commute. So it's fine.
100%.
100%. I'm so glad that you're enjoying it.
I'm loving it.
I'm so glad. I'm happy for you that you have that. You know what I watched on Friday night? Finally, the Downton movie. Finally.
How was it?
It was cute that like
it was That's not good.
It was cute that like the gang was there, like the back house together. Was there. The king and queen came to stay at Downton. But it was like a little stupid. Mm-hmm. But it was, I don't think it was meant to be like groundbreaking stuff.
No, it's just like nice to get the gang back together.
Yeah, it was nice to get the gang back together. But like there was like this whole like storyline of like, so I guess when the king and queen like come to stay at a house, they bring all their own servants, cooks, butlers, etc. And then the house runs like their house at home.
I do the same thing when I visit other people's homes.
But when they came to Downton, like the show is about the Downton staff. So the Downton staff were like so upset that they were usurped by the royal household. They were put out,
yeah.
So and they like all like banded together to like, you know, lock them in their rooms or like send them to London.
It was that just sounds like, so stupid. Oh my God. That sounds like the plot of an actual Disney Channel original movie.
It was so stupid. They like all met in the wine cellar.
They
like,
locked the chefs in their room. Yeah, that's so stupid. No.
So that they finally, like, so that they could serve the king and queen.
But that's not protocol.
No, it's not protocol, but it was just, like, a little
silliness.
Stupid. But it was really good. It was good.
Well, I'm happy for you. I was just, like, gallivanting around the tri-state area this weekend, and I ended up having a lovely time. I had a bachelorette party on Friday night in the Hamptons for my friend Nikki Mazel Tov, and it was very nice, you know, very relaxing.
How were you feeling after Friday's show?
Oh my God. Okay. So the IV like did really bring me back to life. And I really want to thank Marisol from IV Drips for being like a real homie. Like she didn't have to, you know, put herself out there and she did. And I really appreciated it. And IV Drips was great. I still felt like shit, but I was able to survive a 3-hour car ride to the Hamptons with Brian.
Yeah.
Not only did I survive it, like I had the best time. It was literally like the best car ride ever. We got McDonald's. We watched The Big Shot. Are there new episodes? Two more. And me and Brian were just like living for it. And we put it on his phone. And we basically like listened to it as a podcast. I was watching. Brian was driving. But it was so good. We were just like, we were dying. It's literally the dumbest show, but it's so good. And then I went to the bachelorette party. And then Saturday, I headed back to Long Island. I had a birthday party. So I was just like kind of being like a Long Island socialite this weekend, which is kind of why I'm tired.
You were being a princess of Long Island?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Okay, well, part of the weekend was watching SNL. So we need to get into...
I have so much to say.
Without further ado to do to do, we need to get into the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And it should come as a surprise to absolutely no one that today's episode is brought to you by The Bruche. The best electric toothbrush on the market, works so well, looks stunning, and is very affordable compared to most electric toothbrushes, which can cost over $200, which is insane. If you just want to like have a like a fresh start, like make a big change in your life, start with your toothbrush. The Bruche has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks. It comes with a magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. They also offer a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Bruche will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head. They also come in a very sleek design. So Jackie and I have spoken about how it's like kind of the most stunning part of our countertops. I think a lot of electric toothbrushes literally look like space stations. Like there's like huge mounts. You just want a decluttered lifestyle, you know, the Kim Ye way. And the Bruche makes that possible. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design that comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. Get 15% off your Bruche toothbrush kit and the refill plan when you use promo code TOAST at Bruche.com. Join the millions of toasters who have literally changed their life and their countertops with the Bruche. Bruche is spelled BRUUSH.com, Bruche.com, code TOAST for 15% off.
Okay, I'm already laughing because we need to talk about SNL. Okay. Elon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. It was live, he confirmed, and it was so fucking good.
Okay, I have so many thoughts because I didn't watch because I was at a birthday party, but Sunday morning it was like exactly what I wanted to do first thing in the morning before I even brushed my teeth.
No, Saturday night, I literally took a nap at 7 o'clock so that I could make it to SNL. I thought it went on at like 11:15, so I turned on my TV at 11 and I literally watched 30 minutes of news just waiting for Elon. I learned so many things, by the way.
No, it's local news or?
Yeah, it was local news. Oof, like, first of all, like, dark. I learned that this week and last week, like, the temperatures are lower than what they usually are. So that's also why I put on a sweater today. I was like, the weatherman said.
The local news can make the happiest person like want to jump off a bridge.
Oh.
It is so depressing. I actually cannot watch it.
No, I know, but
there's so much crime.
So much crime.
So much tragedy.
Gun violence up in the city 166% from last year.
Terrible. Terrible. I can't watch the local news. But I went on my phone. I was like wanting to see what people were saying before I turned it on. And literally, like, people, and it was like news articles. I don't know if it was really like
the regular people's voices.
It wasn't the people's voices. It was like the media, like saying, bombs, Doge is tanking, you know, Elon Musk is so awkward, painful to watch. And I'm like, oh no. And I was expecting like a full-on train wreck. And I was so confused after watching it because I was like, this was so good. Like, it was, the sketches were top tier. Elon was great.
Elon was great. Let's take it from the top because his monologue first, just, I literally was watching the monologue like this. Like, I was laughing, smiling so hard. We really
don't know him.
I didn't know what his personality was like at all. And I just felt like he was so himself. Like, he's a little awkward.
Yeah. Well, he said he has Asperger's. So he has, he's a little socially awkward.
So he was just like, totally himself, made jokes about like all the things that people say about him, made jokes about the son's name, still didn't tell us how it's pronounced.
No, cat running across a keyboard.
Cat running across a keyboard. Like, his monologue was so quotable.
Yeah, well, the thing is like, I think why a lot of people were like, this is awkward, is because he is an awkward guy, and he just is, like, but I don't know. I think the fact that he was like so confident in his awkwardness like made it so funny and like endearing. Even the sketch with his mom where May like literally botched her lines so hard. May. It was just so sweet.
May, like the month, but with an E. Thank you, Elon, for spelling my name.
No, it was written so well. I don't know who wrote his monologue, but it was excellent. May. And he looked, I have to say, like, I was just not expecting to like find Elon Musk so hot.
You, like, my Danhood is through the roof. I'm like Dogecoin to the moon, except no, not.
100%. Of course, am I disappointed the Doge is down? Yes, but you have to understand, I got in at 4 cents. It's still at 50 cents. I'm still in the red. I mean, in the green. And this is just the beginning. Elon announced yesterday that he is literally sending a rocket to the moon that is paid for entirely by Doge. It's the first crypto in space, and he's calling it Doge.
And he's literally sending Doge to the moon.
Literally.
He's sending Doge to the moon. And yes, I wanted to talk about that. But also, right before, right as he was like, as SNL was starting, Doge hit 0.71. That's what I sent to you. And I think because it got so high, people started selling.
Inevitably.
Because they were like, this is the high it's going to be all night. And then it totally tanked.
I'm okay. Like, I think it didn't totally tank.
Sorry.
It started at 2 cents.
No, but if you look at the charts, boom. Yeah.
No, I think it's a long-term thing. You can't just like get in to get out. And that's, I'm really here for the long haul. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I have more thoughts.
Of course.
Because there was so much controversy, like so stupid around it, where like Bowen Yang and A.D. Bryant were speaking out. Bowen Yang did participate in many sketches with Elon Musk. And I think like, what Bowen Yang had posted was like, when Elon announced that he was going to be on SNL, he tweeted out, let's see how live Saturday Night Live really is. And Bowen Yang was like, what the fuck is this? Now that I know Elon, and he's obviously just like this like quirky guy, I could see him thinking that like that's a hilarious joke and he's like literally going to be a comedian. Like, I could see the whole thing. So I was happy to see, because I love Bowen Yang. I think he's literally the future. Him and Chloe are like literally the future of SNL. So I was really happy to see him participate. A.D. Bryant was very noticeably absent from every sketch except for the Mother's Day one in the beginning, which was far too long, and Miley Cyrus like did not sound good.
I was so worried in the beginning that Elon wasn't going to do a monologue because Miley opened the show. Like, Miley just inserting herself in, she should just join the cast.
No, literally.
Like, it's so weird that she's on every 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, and a lot, if you're a Miley stan, like, you are not going to like what I have to say. But I've tried to be open-minded when it comes to Miley Cyrus's music career. I've been very hard on her, but I did think that most recently she did kind of find her niche, like with the Plastic Hearts and that, Dua Lipa collab. Like, she had banger after banger.
And the Midnight Run.
Amazing song. Midnight, I really felt like she found her Joan Jett vibe. And I was so disappointed because, first of all, she didn't have any music to promote, so I didn't really understand why she was on SNL. Then she literally stole that guy's song, and like, yeah, he was there, but I just can't stress how weird it is to go on Saturday Night Live and sing another person's song.
Like a contemporary song. And she is featured on like the version.
The new, they did it too. So this is the exact comparison. Lizzo wrote a song, feeling good as hell, killed it, broke every chart. This guy, I don't even know his name, wrote a song that went viral on TikTok. It's like became a huge song.
Yeah, Can't Turn a Wife into a Hoe.
Love that
song. It's called Without You. I looked him up last night, so I should
have. It's called Kid Leroy or something.
Kid Leroy.
So Ariana Grande and
The Kid Leroy.
Ariana Grande and Lizzo, after Good as Hell, like, was out for a few years, re-released it like together, and Ariana had like a small verse on it. That would be like Ariana Grande going on Saturday Night Live and singing Good as Hell and bringing Lizzo. Like, that would have been weird.
Yeah.
So I just think it's so bizarre that Miley literally did a cover, and then her second song was a song that is like so old.
Someone else's song.
That's a cover.
Oh no, but the first, sorry, the Mother's Day song was.
Oh, I wasn't talking. The Mother's Day song was a sketch, and she sounded really bad. I'm sorry. The first song was not hers. That kid should have gotten on SNL on his own by his own merit. Like, that song blew up. That's what SNL is for.
Yes.
Whatever. She sang a cover. And then the second song is like 6 months old. Like, that's not what SNL is for.
What was the other
Plastic
song?
Hearts.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch her second
And performance. She did not sound good. The mullet. I have to say, the thing about Miley is, like, what I've always said is, even though I don't agree with a lot of her artistic choices, she always comes out and sounds amazing. That's like her biggest
flex.
Flex is that she's multi-genre. She kills it vocally. She did not sound good. She sounded like she had laryngitis.
Yeah, so I feel like every time Miley comes out, it's like, oh, wow, this girl can really sing. I feel like
people, it's a reminder.
It's a reminder for, obviously, her fans know that, but it's a reminder for, like, everyone old and young. Like, wow, Miley Cyrus, she's not just Hannah Montana. Like, she's truly talented. She respects, like, older music.
Yeah.
And you always just, like, have a new respect for her after watching her perform live. I agree. She sounded different. Apparently, she had vocal surgery, and now her voice is a little changed.
Oh.
That's what I read in Toast After Dark.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But then she was like in the sketch of, and that's a fun thing to have like performers in sketches, but like when Miley performs every month, she like just joined the cast.
No, I completely
agree. And like, why wasn't Grimes the performer? I was so glad to see Grimes as Princess Peach.
Me too.
And then to see her when they were
rapping. Yeah.
So that was like a fun, sweet treat. But back to the main event. Yeah. Let's go sketch by sketch.
The best sketch was Gen Z Hospital.
She's literally dead. It was sus for a while, and now
No cap. Elon was great. I feel like Elon really understands like internet culture, and I just know Bo and Yang wrote that sketch. Like, I just know it. So it felt like a meeting of the minds, and that's why I was like so upset when Bo and Yang was one of the people who had spoken out, because I actually think him and Elon could be like a great creative force.
Yes, I totally agree.
And that sketch was the culmination of so many things, and it was hysterical.
It was hysterical, but just like every time like Elon joined the sketch, I was like, it's amazing.
No, every time Elon was on, I was just like quaking. Like, I just couldn't believe it. When he showed up in Chloe Fineman's The Uli Show, which was literal, she was incredible. Like, she does such good impressions, but she's so committed to Uli.
Has she done Uli before?
I don't know.
It
should be a recurring show.
It should be, because she was so good.
And Frances McDormand, like, it was hysterical. But when they cut to the producer being Elon, I dead ass did not know that was him. I thought it was someone else.
Really?
He looked so different.
Yeah.
He was just like, I feel like he's just such like a perfectionist. Like, he committed to every role.
And you have to remember, the people who usually go on SNL are actors. So like, they're acting in a skit or a sketch. But Elon's not. So I thought he did so good, considering he's not an actor. He's just a genius.
No, and the premise of the whole Wario, Mario, Luigi courtroom was so funny. But I did not like, this is like SNL's thing. They have really good concepts for skits, and they like never know how to end them.
They can't land the plane.
So like, when it became into like a Cuomo thing, I was like, this is not funny.
No, like, you want to talk about Governor Cuomo and that's what you're going to say?
Yeah, no, and it's like, we're tying in a courtroom. No, the courtroom was actually like a funny idea for a sketch.
Yeah.
And Grimes's appearance was just,
I didn't know at first that was her. I thought it was Chloe Fineman. But then when they were saying their goodbyes, I saw her on the stage and I was like, Princess Peach.
I didn't, before I watched it, I saw on Twitter people were like sharing the picture like Grimes on. So I knew that it was her, but I probably wouldn't have noticed her if I didn't know that.
Yeah, totally.
So I just loved absolutely every minute of it. And I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, because so many people were like dragging him on Twitter, but I thought he did amazing. I wanted to know, like, I'm so proud of him.
It's clearly an unpopular opinion. Like, if you read the news, I literally just like Googled his name for a story, and like the first article that came up was like cringy SNL. Like,
it wasn't.
I just want to say, I thought it was so good. Like, literally the best episode I've seen in so long. And I'm sure like they had a lot of viewers.
I'm sure they did too. And they just like really leaned into so many different sides of Elon. Like, when he came on Weekend Update, like, pretty much as himself, right?
No, but he was Leron again.
Oh, he was?
I think he was like an accountant named Leron. But then my audio on my TV stopped syncing with the mouse, so I had to turn it off.
Whatever. He was just like being so funny. He was like so nerdy, talking about all the things he loved, like explaining what cryptocurrencies are. It was just like so fun to see him like just like being himself.
No,
and then the last sketch, the was Wild hysterical.
West. Yeah, where he was just like
reinventing the wheel.
The Leron of the Wild West. He was
the Elon Musk of the Wild West.
Yeah, no, and also when he played himself in the Mars sketch where Chad goes to Mars.
Hysterical sketch.
Hysterical.
And, you know, in the ones that were like pre-recorded, not the live ones, he actually did amazing. Like, I rewatched the Chad sketch this morning and I was like, he could be a real actor, because it's not live and obviously like you have memorized your lines and stuff. I thought he did so good. And that other pre-recorded sketch where...
The quarantine party.
The quarantine
the
party.
The post-quarantine party.
Where he was talking to Heidi Gardner. Like, it was just hysterical.
Yeah.
And I just... I feel like it was really kind of blown out of proportion, like, by the media. Like, everyone at SNL is walking. Like, they don't want to be with Elon. Because it feels like everyone... For literally everyone except for AD Bryant participated, and they all went out to dinner a few nights before, and I just feel like they actually like got along.
Yeah, no, I think that everyone like went into it with like maybe these ideas about him, but I think it seems like he won them all over, and it was a pleasure and a joy to watch. It felt like one of those moments when I turned it on, I was like, I feel like so many people are like
historical
tuning in for this, you know, just like the Meghan and Harry interview, yes. Like just like a cultural moment. It's not every day you see like one of the smartest people of all time, like hosting a comedy show.
No, and he was in New York all week driving his new Tesla car.
Sickening.
Everyone kept like on Twitter taking pictures and sharing them, like because he was spotted around the city. It's like literally, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a spaceship.
No, and I got an Uber on Friday night that was a Tesla.
By the way, that happened to me recently too. I bet it was the same car.
And it was so incredible.
I know. We need to get a Tesla.
We need to get a Tesla.
Where do we get one?
It's like a self-driving horse, which is just a horse.
That was funny.
Elon.
It was honestly 10 out of 10. Like, I just loved it.
It was so good.
And I can't tell if people are like going to make fun of us for loving it, but I don't care. I loved it. And I feel like there's so much bad like publicity around it. And someone send this to Elon. Like, it was great.
Elon, you did amazing.
Grimes,
sweetie.
You did great. Your mom was great. You were hysterical. I fell in love with you. Let's get married.
Go Elon. Go Elon. It's your birthday. Go Elon.
It was great. Seriously. It was fucking great.
That's our review. Our review.
10 out of fucking 10. That's nobody else's review. And I'm just not in the mood for the slander. It's like popular to hate on Elon Musk. Like, sorry, he's changing the world. Like, and you're upset about it because he's rich. Leave him alone.
Leave
Elon alone. Seriously. Stop it.
Speaking of SNL, next week, Olivia Rodrigo
I know.
Is performing.
And Key and Peele. Keegan-Michael Key.
Yes.
I'm definitely watching that, even though we're going to be in Nashville. Okay, I'll watch it in the morning on the plane.
Oh, yeah. Programming update. We are taking a trip this weekend, but we will be in studio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is audio only.
Friday, we're starting, gonna be hungover.
We're starting summer Fridays a little
yeah,
early.
Yeah, a little early, even though it's like we just talked about for 20 minutes how it's not spring.
And how we already have a full weekend.
No. All in all, the takeaway of this episode... Leave Elon alone. SNL was a 10 out of 10. And if you find yourself not believing that,
reevaluate.
Check yourself.
Totally agree. And Doge is literally going to the moon.
Oh, let's check where it's at, actually. So it had gotten to 0.71. And now it was like down to like 4 or 5 over the weekend.
I thought because there was so much Doge like fanfare on the show that it was going to go up. But
it's
I guess
0.5.
I clearly thought wrong. What's it at?
0.5.
Okay, just play the game. Don't keep checking.
No, I'm fine.
I think also
I'm
this news of
fine.
Doge literally going to the moon should make it go up. Did you see that Ethereum's at 4,000?
I don't fuck with Ethereum.
No, but like if you're in the crypto game, that's just good to know that your cousin Ethereum got to 4,000.
Yeah, that's true. No, all sinking ships rise tides.
Rising tides raise all ships.
Exactly.
Are you ready for
But sinking ships do tide rise.
That is true. Not always, but generally speaking.
But don't forget that.
Are you ready for our next story? Someone call Brielle Bierman because Juliana Rancic is leaving E's red carpet.
We are literally...
Soothsayers.
Soothsayers. We spoke about this on Friday, how you were literally going to have to take Juliana Rancic's job from her cold, dead fingertips. And she wanted to prove me wrong because literally 5 minutes later, she announced on Instagram.
She's leaving E's red carpet coverage after 20 years. The Live from the Red Carpet staple announced over the weekend that she's thrilled to start a new adventure, developing stories with E's parent company, NBC Universal. She said, after 20 years hosting E's red carpet, I have decided to step out of my red carpet heels into a new pair of shoes. One of my passions is great storytelling, and I am thrilled to announce a new development deal with E's parent company, NBC Universal, where I'll be producing and bringing stories to life. This announcement is very like Duke and Duchess of Sussex bringing stories to life.
Yeah, and like, so I guess she left E! News like 10 years ago, and everyone thought that was like the end of her on E!, but then she was still doing red carpet, and then E! News got canceled, so it didn't even matter. So it felt like she never left. But this is like the official last job she has at E!, correct?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if once again we're wrong and
right.
she shows up.
She's on Daily Pop, yeah. Right.
But no, I do feel as though we generally see her on the red carpet and this is no more red carpet.
I'm like really okay with that. Like I can't stress enough how I really feel like I appreciate her work, but it is her time. It's Ryan Seacrest's time. And like, let's just give the mic to Tanya Rad. Like it's literally, Tanya Rad every girl wanted to be the next Juliana Rancic, and Tommy Rad actually is the next Juliana Rancic.
I totally agree. Also, since Juliana's like doing a new series in development with NBC, like that sounds like a step up from being like the host of the red carpet. Yeah. So everybody's just moving along.
Jason Kennedy and Tanya Rad are like the future of E, and it's about time they start acting like it.
I don't know, but his show like didn't
cut it. Was the dumbest idea.
It didn't
cut it. What was it called? The Big Room?
In the Room.
In the Room, yeah. No one cares.
Yeah, no, but he's doing okay. Like Justin Sylvester, Morgan.
Oh, in terms of like the daytime.
Oh, yes. In terms of like what they do best, which is like
pop culture recap news.
Commentary, yes. Red carpets, etc.
The Morgan Stewart, the Jordan, the Justin Sylvester, the Lady Sitter, the Hunter, Nina, even though Carissa announced last week that she's leaving.
Which is a real shock because she is the backbone of Daily Pop.
She's like the...
The host. And then like Morgan
and captain
Justin,
of the ship.
Yeah, they get to like, you know, do squeegee on the both sides. Like,
I wonder why.
I know. I found that to be really surprising.
I mean, she just had a baby. Maybe she just wants to focus on her family, but I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe she got a different job somewhere else. But I found that to be really surprising too. So it does seem like there's change-ups happening over at E.
There's always things moving at E because everything gets canceled after a month.
I know. That must be like a tough place to work when it's like every other volatile week things are changing so much.
Yeah.
But that's the latest.
And greatest.
And that's what you missed on E.
Very good.
Thanks,
I like that.
Claudia.
Before you move on, can I just let everyone know about IPVanish, today's sponsor?
Please do.
IPVanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computer, tablet, phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all of your data becomes encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is that you're doing. That's important because what you're doing on the internet is absolutely nobody else's business but yours. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. So this is the official sponsor of Former Toasters. For listeners of this show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month, or $31.49 for the entire year. And here's everything you get with IPVanish. Anonymous IP addresses, which means your personal IP address cannot be tracked by anyone. You can circumvent any online censorship. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. And you can get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IPVanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. And 24/7 support. You can email them, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help you. So if you want to claim your 65% savings, go to IPVanish.com/toast. That's IPVanish.com/toast. Getting plans at just $3.49 a month or $31.49 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. That's IPVanish.com/toast to get the deal and start protecting yourself online.
Love it. Okay, ready for our next story?
Yes.
Little Mix is about to become Little Mix.
Yes.
Perry Edwards is pregnant, announcing her pregnancy a week after her bandmate, Leanne. So we've got 2 out of 3 Little Mix members pregnant. Such a beautiful time for Little Mix.
So many changes in the Little Mix family. Jessie Nelson has departed, and it's seeming to be pretty permanent based on, like, interviews she's doing. She did, like, a kind of a big, like, interview basically saying, like, her breaking point was on this music video set where she just, like, literally did not feel like herself and she felt so insecure. And she didn't really say anything bad about the girls. I feel like they're on decent terms, but I just think, like, she left literally...
The environment.
For her mental health, yeah.
I understand.
And now 2 of them are pregnant. There's just, like, so many changes, but I feel good about it. I don't think that Little Mix is breaking up. Like,
no,
I feel strong.
Because if you follow Little Mix, like, they're still putting out fire content, songs, videos. They just put out an album, like, with the 3 girls. Like, they're not stopping, and Jessie's departure, like, has not slowed them down whatsoever. And now, like, the fact that 2 of them are pregnant at the same time, so like it feels as though they'll all maybe want the same things, and like it will go faster here and slower here.
Yeah.
Like it seems really nice.
It actually probably is really nice to be in a girl group and be pregnant at the same time as another girl, so you don't feel like you're like, being like left behind or something.
100%. And also Perry and Leanne are both with soccer stars.
Love
so
that.
It's just like so cute.
It's kind of like an ideal situation. Like I'm happy Jessie, I miss her, but I'm glad she's taking care of herself. And I think that, like, that's kind of, like, better.
No, like, I think everybody is where they want to be and doing what they want to be doing. And that's all you can ask out of your favorite girl group.
100%. And I just feel good about it. Like, no, I don't want to jinx it.
I saw my Instagram this morning, like when I opened it, it was my first picture was Perry's belly.
Yeah, me too.
And I was just so excited, especially knowing that Leanne announced last week. I'm sure they like coordinated their announcements. They would each have their time, but like they'll be in this together.
Yeah. And I'm just like happy for Perry, you know, because she's been on a journey with the Zayn of it all. Shout out to my ex. You're really quite the man. You made my heart break and it made me who I am. I just feel like it's been a long journey, a very difficult journey. I actually saw her in concert and she started breaking down crying like right after she broke up with Zayn. Well, Zayn broke up with her. And, you know, it's hard. Zayn like bounced to Gigi, who's like the most perfect girl in the world. And like they had a baby together and like everyone like dies for them. So it's a tough spot to be the other girl, you know, in another country. But she bounced back even better. She's giving me Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner vibes. Like
100%. They should all hang out. Especially because Sophie is British.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like it's very complicated. Like,
I feel like Joe and Sophie don't want any, like, they'll hang with Taylor Swift. Like, they'll laugh about
any drama.
They'll laugh about this and that, but, like, they don't want to touch the Gigi and Zayn web.
Yeah. Well, it's tangled for them, too.
Yeah. No, I just feel like that's the ex that's, like, the real one, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
everyone's connected. That's the thing. Like, I could literally connect two random people, like, via like hookups, you know, because like this generation, like, well, they're not young Hollywood anymore, they're like all having babies now, but like they've literally all hooked up with each other.
Yeah,
it's just like so incestual.
I know, but like that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. But like, you know what picture lives in my mind rent free?
Share
the picture in London of Calvin Harris, Taylor Swift, Karlie Kloss. I think she's being like a fifth wheel because I don't think Josh Kushner, is that his name?
Yeah,
he's there. And then Gigi and Joe Jonas, like the five of them, like that's just like
Was that when they were on the boat?
Yeah,
just like they were on the little
canal,
like, yeah,
like a Milan vibe,
like Venice,
maybe London actually. Whatever, the five of them on a boat, like that is just a picture that like I can't believe exists. First of all, because Taylor in a boat with her ex Joe Jonas, and now after like reliving Fearless, it's like so real in my mind. And the fact that Gigi and Joe Jonas were at a like. Ever together, like it's just like it's crazy. And then like the Karlie Kloss, like it's just like so much.
It's crazy.
And the Calvin Harris, like it's just a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, I hope that your brain like has space for the next story.
Thanks a lot.
If that's what's living there.
No, it's living there like so rent free. It's crazy.
They need to start paying you.
I saw a hysterical meme.
I know what
from Adam the Creator.
Yeah,
this lives in my mind rent free, and it's a picture of a brain.
I literally, when you said this lives in my mind rent free, that's what I was thinking.
I was cracking up.
Such good, smart content.
Totally.
Are you ready for our next story? A little horse drama.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit fails the post-race drug test. Trainer Bob Baffert calls it a gut punch because we reported last week Medina Spirit won the Kentucky Derby.
Shut the fuck up.
And that the trainer now had won the most derbies yet, but Medina Spirit, the horse that won the 2021 Kentucky Derby last weekend at Churchill Downs, has failed a post-race drug test.
The horse did.
The horse did.
I didn't even know you could drug a horse.
He had a high level of an anti-inflammatory drug, and that's what he tested. Tested positive for. No, betamethasone.
Okay, anti-inflammatory is like Advil. So like...
But it's also a steroid, this drug.
It is. Like,
but I'm sure... That's where the confusion lies. This is what the trainer said. He said, yesterday I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. He said that the drug test was an injustice to the horse. On Sunday, Churchill Downs suspended the trainer from entering horses on the track.
So his like career is over.
A second positive test called a split sample is required before a horse can be disqualified, as the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission regulations state. So they have another test that they need to go through. If the findings remain true, Medina Spirit will be disqualified and Mandaloon, the runner-up, will be declared the winner. Churchill Downs said in a statement.
It's a good day to be Mandaloon.
The trainer said this shouldn't have happened. There's a problem somewhere. It didn't come from us.
I don't know. I'm not really believing. Like... Do the tests lie? Like,
I don't know.
Tests don't lie.
I'm glad that they have protocol in place. Like, that there's going to be another test.
I didn't know that, first of all, you could, like, drug horses and that, like, they were all required to take a test.
Well, you could, I guess, like, juice them up.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, a horse is so big. Like, how many roids do they have to take?
Think about it. A lot.
That's so sad.
The victory is in jeopardy. And everyone is at the edge of their seats.
I'm quaking, honestly.
Imagine, like, you won the
Your family.
You put bet on... a horse and you won it and partying.
Okay, but what does it do with the bets?
I don't know.
They keep their money. I think that makes sense. That would be, what are you going to collect from people? They've already taken their money. Taken their money and spent it.
Well, it depends. Maybe they're saving. But still.
Maybe they're not.
That's good. That adds a layer of confusion that just stresses me out.
But then if you had bet on Mercurial whatever, Mandaloon, then you would feel entitled.
Yeah.
That's tough. Maybe they have to pay out everyone.
Drama.
Drama.
Horse drama. That's why we need self-driving horses, which are just horses.
I need a Tesla. Like, that's the moral of the story.
Claudia, I need a Tesla.
But you know you can't lease them. You have to pay for the whole thing.
No, I think it's a good investment. I think...
Are there charging stations in the city? I feel like most parking garages probably have that.
Yeah, I think you just need an outlet.
No, I don't think so.
I think you just need an outlet.
No, you need like a whole station.
No, you just need a little wireless charger.
I just like love the idea.
You need a Mophie.
LOL. He should make that.
I'm sure he's working on it.
He's working on
everything. He's working so hard.
I
did you see a few weeks ago when Kylie went in that tunnel?
Yes.
The boring.
Oh, me and Ben spoke about it on the toast.
Okay.
When you weren't here.
Sickening.
Claustrophobic. I would literally rather die.
I know, but like knowing you're in Elon's tunnel, like I would just trust the tunnel.
No, no. I would be so scared. There's literally hundreds of miles behind you.
I know.
And hundreds of miles in front of you.
Okay.
What if your car breaks down?
Elon would never do that to you. But I totally agree.
Horrible. Horrible. Is there a convenience store inside?
No, there's nothing.
What if you need gas? What if you get hungry? What if your car breaks down?
No, wait, can
what
I tell
if
you,
someone in the car has a heart attack?
Can I tell you something crazier that I just thought of? Like,
no.
You're in the tunnel. The car is built to like fit in the tunnel on the tracks. Like, so say you get stuck. Can you even open the door or do you hit the wall?
Stop. I think there's probably room to, right? I don't know.
You got to open the trunk, sunroof. No, but is it like?
No, it's so not right. I'm not okay
Kylie's
with it.
Kylie's so brave.
And Chris.
Yeah.
I had a dream. This is so pathetic. I had a dream Chris Jenner came to one of my comedy shows and I was like so excited.
Stop.
Jake posted it on Instagram. Like it was the funniest thing I ever saw. Like that would never happen.
These days dreams are called manifests. So yes. Instead of saying like, oh, I hope this happens, say I'm manifesting it. And then it'll happen apparently.
Yeah. And I was like trying to figure out how she got invited.
Manifest it.
Oh my God. Okay.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? That's not so much news as just like something I think people should know.
Yes, I think they should know too.
Because I read this story and I was like, oh, I didn't know this. And I was actually like wondering if this was the
case. I've been thinking about it.
It's a little tax news you need to know since like no one will tell you how to do your taxes.
Right, no, like you just have to guess exactly how to do it.
But the money that you donated to GoFundMe probably isn't tax deductible. There's been no shortage of need during the pandemic. And to help meet it, friends, neighbors, and customers have set up hundreds of thousands of crowdfunding campaigns. GoFundMe estimates that an American has started a COVID-related fundraiser on its site every 2 minutes since March 2020.
Wow.
But donors shouldn't assume that their contributions are tax deductible, and fundraising organizers should not assume the money they have raised won't be taxable. Giving money to an online fundraiser to help those in need or to fund a creator's project on platforms like Kickstarter is not going to be tax deductible unless the money raised is going to an IRS designated charitable organization known as a 501c3.
Right.
So unless the GoFundMe organizer was a 501c3, which if you're donating to individuals, it's most likely not.
No, if you're donating to GoFundMe, that's the point of GoFundMe. It's for regular people, not people who have tax deductible 501c3 companies.
Yeah. So if you were planning on counting that as tax deductible, probably don't.
GoFundMe needs to fix that.
GoFundMe needs to fix that.
People would be more inclined to donate more. People love tax deductions. It's a great incentive to do charity. This is a disgrace. It truly is.
No, the government and GoFundMe need to sync up and figure this out.
The platform, like over the last couple of years, has blown up, and this is a problem.
And the idea that all of the contributions in total are then taxed.
Right, like a family is, right. People are collecting for their medical bills.
It's a gift.
They raise $50,000 and then they literally are left with $25,000 because of taxes. Then what's the point? Then you need to raise $100,000 to get what you actually need.
No, this is wrong. And I'm glad that we're calling it out.
Me too. I think more people should be talking about this.
Like, because on the one hand, I just wanted you guys to know, like,
Don't write off your tax as a tax deduction.
More people donated to GoFundMes this year than ever before. I know that I did.
Yeah.
And I was curious, and I even Googled, like, is GoFundMe tax deductible? And I learned something to this effect, but I was still a little unsure. And then I saw this article today. I'm like, I think more people should know that. And also, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my middle finger nerve.
Let's talk about this.
My middle finger nerve issue is not getting better.
Did you have tendonitis? Did you get a sleeve? Or splint?
I didn't,
splint?
But you know what? I might try it your way soon because the...
Just get the splint and literally walk around the house with it.
Ow.
A splint will change it overnight.
Now
I hate when people have the solution in front of them and they don't fucking take it.
Physical therapist, now it's hurting in the knuckle. Tell me what to do.
Take the splint, it'll change your life.
Fine.
And if I'm wrong, I will wear a splint on all 10 of my fingers for an entire show, okay?
I think the punishment should be of my choosing.
Fine, okay, but I like my idea.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Should we dive into Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yes, and speaking of Real Housewives of Atlanta, someone's hand looked like they were wearing a splint on every single finger. Whose was that?
Oh, I don't know. The outfits?
You guys.
We have to get into it.
Let's get into it.
Before we get into it, we're going to annihilate some outfits brought to you by Blueprint Test Prep.
Thank you, Blueprint. This needs to be said.
You're never quite sure if the way you're studying is going to drive results. People have used index cards for years. You just read them over and over and over. But it's hard to commit to studying and get into a routine because of all the distractions. I was never a good studier. I was never a good test taker. But that's because I didn't have Blueprint Test Prep for law and medical school. You've got to try Blueprint. Their test prep delivers life-changing score increases. On average, their students receive 11-point increases for the LSAT, for your future lawyers, and 13-point increases for the MCAT, for the future doctors. That is a big deal. Here's a shocking thing that they've learned at Blueprint over the years. When you are bored, you don't retain information very well. Blueprint was founded on the idea that test prep can actually be entertaining and effective. They use unique animations, memorable graphics, plus humorous pop culture references to make your experiences engaging and enjoyable. They're also the only dynamic study plan tool that creates your personalized study plan at the click of a button. Your plan will outline exactly what to study, when, evolve with your busy schedule, and sync to your phone so you can stay on track. They only hire the best instructors to teach for Blueprint. You must score in the 98th percentile or higher on their exam. And they turn down over 90% of people who apply to teach for them, so you know you're only getting the best of the best instructors. You get personal analytics after every press test, and their numbers don't lie. They have helped over 50,000 LSAT students and 60,000 MCAT students improve their scores. With a 4.8 Trustpilot score, you know you can trust them. So all of our studious toasters, if you are studying for the LSAT or the MCAT and you want a personalized, effective study plan, check out Blueprint. Blueprint has an incredible contest going on right now where you can win $20,000 towards your law school tuition. Just head to their site if you want to enter to win. Plus, Blueprint has an exclusive offer for Morning Toast listeners. They very rarely offer discounts this big, but for the first 100 listeners of our show who go to blueprintprep.com and use the promo code TOAST, you will receive 20% off. That's $200 off your LSAT or your MCAT class. If you go to blueprintprep.com and use the promo code TOAST, 20% off. That's over $200 off your study plan.
Love it. Okay, let's get into Real Housewives of Atlanta.
The outfits first. I love that there was a theme. And I think a lot of times there is a theme. It's like very vague, all white. But no, this was like dominatrix, dungeon. It was disgraceful. Like so many, I actually think, even though it pains me because I really, especially after last night's reunion, I can't stand her. Kenya looked amazing.
Kenya looked the best. Her skin,
like she was literally gorgeous.
I loved her bun.
Her bun was elegant. Her dress was stunning. It was just, it was a look.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was good because everyone else looked terrible or it was just like good on its own.
Yeah, I think it was good on its own, but then it was also like sinking tides, like raise one ship.
Yeah. So the episode was frustrating because I'm very much on Team Portia when it comes to the Bolo thing. It reminds me of Denise and Brandy. It's not about whether or not Denise and Brandy hooked up. It's not about whether or not Bolo and Portia hooked up. It's the fact that it's nobody's business.
It's just to play Kenya's advocate for a second. The difference is if Denise and Brandy hooked up in
the house
when they were, you know, in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, and Kenya was like hanging on to that. But the thing is, like, the women had an agreement before that. They took their mics, they sent producers home, they covered all the cameras. Obviously, they didn't do a good job. But they had a mutual understanding amongst everyone that this was off camera. And Portia brought it up. Kenya brought it up repeatedly the next couple days.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for Candy because Candy knows exactly what happened and she's not being a gossip girl about it, even though she very well could, because it's very clear that she's holding on to what happened between her and Portia 4 years ago, which I understand because it was insane.
Well, I don't know if she's holding on to it as much as like this just reminds her so much of it. She's viewing it through that lens. Whereas it's not like every decision she made for the last 4 years was like because of that. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't think so either. But it's obviously that like she has trauma from it because it was like a heinous accusation. That's not something you just forget.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I was just like, I could not get on board with Kenya. She's just like so one, like she doesn't listen to what anyone's saying. She's just like there to get her point across and she's wrong. Like she's fully wrong.
Yeah, I just think in general, like I understand her point of like it's a show and that's what we do and we're at work and yes, technically that's right. I just like hate when people use that as an argument because it's like, but you're still
a human being.
And
even Andy like didn't get on board with that, and Andy's the executive producer of the show.
I feel like, yeah, I guess it does kind of remind me of Denise and Brandy because it was like Rinna, like let's talk about it, and right. It's like we don't need to talk about it.
No, and kind of the whole theme of the episode was like it's a personal matter, it shouldn't be on TV, and that's like with the Prophet. Like Drew want, I mean, Toya
Drew
wanted,
is so wrong.
She's so wrong and she's so annoying.
And like, she's making Toya like extremely likable.
Yes, I know. Even though Toya has been acting like insane the whole season. I agree. Like Drew is such a fucking drama queen. And this is the biggest like storyline chasing moment ever. Like nobody cares.
This is nothing.
And so then it turns out, okay, he's a false prophet. So literally you should be thanking Toya because then that false prophet would have blessed your baby.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
It was so silly. And like, just the whole thing. I thought
it's like this is where we're
even
at.
Even with the recording, like she just did everything. She just woke up and is like, "I'm gonna make the audience like Toya."
The recording was so embarrassing. Like yeah. There was nothing there.
No, nothing.
Not a single morsel of proof.
So I thought it was just so silly.
Yeah, and you're right. It did make Toya end up being more likable. And I just need an explanation on why Shamia was there. Like she didn't say one word.
No idea.
And I guess she's a friend of. But so is Marlo, technically, and so is Toya. Like, and they are not on the same level.
Right, they had such bigger roles.
Both of them should have and could have been housewives, like, in terms of their actual airtime.
Do you think Toya will be a housewife next year?
It's possible.
I would like her to be one.
I liked Drew up until this prophet thing, so I'm, like, a little disappointed in her. And I just put together that Drew is in White Chicks. I sent you that picture.
Yeah.
She plays one of the chicks' girlfriend's
friend.
Friend, yeah. So they show up at that party in the Hamptons. That was iconic. But also interesting to know she used to be friends with LeBron James. Or she is friends with LeBron James.
She said used to.
No, she said she's been friends since... It sounded confusing the way she worded it because she meant... I think she meant to say they've been friends since before he was in the NBA.
I think
or they stopped being friends once he became...
I think like they were friends before he was in the NBA and then like people go and do their own thing.
Yeah. So I was like annoyed because I did really like Drew for most of the season and I thought she was right in the whole Toya thing. Toya was being mean to her about the wig. Like I really was on her side, but she totally lost me. Like the dumbest, I can't believe we're like hinging the final part of the reunion on this dumb fucking conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, and then when she asked everyone to pray and Kenya was literally like, this is blasphemous. She was right.
I agree.
It was blasphemous. That was so like fake.
It was so silly.
So silly. And by the way, I'm actually really shocked. Like Tanya is gone.
Yeah.
She was like, it's so obvious. Like, Tanya, Portia, and Bolo, they did it. Like, nobody, I don't even care. But Portia had nothing to lose. She's a single girl. She's a consenting adult, as Andy said. Like, she can do whatever she wants. Tanya was not that free. So I just can't believe, like, actually.
Right. But, like, Tanya is the Denise in the situation.
Yes. And just like Denise, like, she's bouncing. But I really found Tanya to be so annoying. So many, when she first came on the scene, like, when they were in Tokyo with Nini, like, I did not like Tanya and she has grown on me so much. I think she's such a nice girl and I'm really sad that like, I think this is the end of the road for Tanya on Housewives.
Oh, you're sad about it?
Yeah. I ended up really liking her. She really grew on me.
Yeah. You got to protect
the home
your
base.
Real life.
Yes. 100%. But she also has like an interesting, there was like stuff there, you know, with like her long-term partner, fiance, that woman from the cookie shop. Like there was just a lot there, but also, we'll never explore it.
I just want to say that I'm glad that Marlo and Kenya are still on their path to friendship.
I'm not.
I know. I think we see it differently.
I've been such a big Marlo fan and I'm so upset that she's choosing Kenya over Portia. She will regret that decision. I'm telling you.
I don't think she sees it as choosing Kenya over Portia. I think she would say that Portia has made it into like her or me. But she, like...
I don't think that's true at all.
I think she intended to be on good terms with Kenya while still maintaining a friendship with Portia.
The thing is, we're in an interesting crossroads now because, like, Kenya and Portia both sat next to Andy. They're clearly, like, two of the biggest stars. But there's no future for them. And it's, like, the same thing every season. Like, it's just, like, getting kind of tired. And I honestly feel like one of them has to go for, like, the show to really move forward in a real way.
Or they have to find a way to move past their stuff, which I don't know.
Which they fake did last season.
I don't know if it's possible, but like really anything's possible.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Danielle Staub and Teresa Giudice came back together. Anything is possible.
It's so true.
So it was honestly like a fine season. There was a lot of hype around the Bolo thing, and I think they delivered, but that happened really early on in the season, and everything after that was just like wah, wah, wah. The false prophet, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's when you know. But I think like it's part of this like 2020 year of content.
Yes,
like
that's
I think
true.
They were filming like during just like a rough COVID time and there was only so much to do.
It wasn't as bad as OC, so.
Right, that's the bar.
That's the bar. The Real Housewives Kids was on. I did not watch it. I fell asleep so early, but I will watch it and give my thoughts at some point. But did you see the Biermans just in Bravo News have been posting a lot online like, don't worry, like, we'll be back on your TV soon.
Yeah, they're doing something with Peacock called, like, Bierman Brunch.
Is that what you think?
That's what Kim posted.
No.
Kim posted a story saying, like,
so we'll be back on your TV soon. That's it.
Bierman Brunch. Where did I read that?
The Bierman Bunch. I think that was just like,
oh, Bierman Bunch. I think
people are suspecting that it's on Peacock, and I agree. But I don't know why they would change the name.
I read it as Bierman Brunch, but I guess she was saying the Bierman Bunch.
Yes, but why would it be a different name if it's on Peacock? It wouldn't need to be a new name.
No, it wouldn't, but maybe it's going to be a new show. Who knows?
I'm upset. And or maybe, I know, like, nobody else is.
They want to rebrand. Like, Don't Be Tardy is a little...
Tired. I agree.
So if it's a new home, a new show, I think it's actually a good idea if they change the name.
Yeah, I actually think they would do well on Peacock. Mm-hmm. And Peacock, like, of all the streaming services, is just, like, not hitting it at all.
Well, I feel like they're in a lull right now just because, like, there's nothing that's, like, so pop. And I feel like HBO Max has, like, everything right now.
I love HBO Max.
I even watched a little bit because Zach was watching Ellen's Next Big Designer. Huh? Ellen's Next Top Designer. Ellen has a new show. She's not on it, but it's called Ellen's Next America.
She's not on it, but her name is in the title?
It's so weird. It has nothing to do with her. It's not her vibe at all. It's like the next designer.
What are they designing for?
Decor, home.
Ellen has a line.
It's really good, the show. Oh. It's like premium design.
Why isn't she on it?
I don't know. And I don't know why her name is on it, because it makes me, like, not want to watch it.
But are they designing for her home decor company?
No. Zach said that the winner gets $100,000, but what they should get is, like, a line, a job with, like, a collaboration line with, like, CB2 or something. Cause, like,
no, but Ellen's company, ED, it's huge. They sell it at Bed Bath & Beyond. I actually have some of the shit. Like, sure. I didn't even know it was Ellen's. Sure. It's just good stuff.
The prize does not seem worthy of, like, these people are so talented. The episode I watched, I had to design, like, a children's backyard, like, playground. Cute. And, like, but they do it, like, aesthetically and, like, monkey bars, but make them cool.
Right.
And it was really interesting.
That is so bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
But yeah, there's nothing anchoring Peacock. Like, they thought they were going to make their bones on the fact that they have The Office and Friends or whatever. But HBO Max has Friends, never mind. And they have The Office and, like, nobody cares. But I do think that The Housewives All-Stars, whatever it's going to be called, being on Peacock, like, will be good for them. But when is that going to, that's not going to be ready for months.
Yeah.
Peacock just, like, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Of all the streaming service launched in the last year, I think it's probably, like, the least successful in my mind.
I don't think
besides
so.
Besides Quibi. Why? It's bigger.
I just think there's highs and lows. Like, it just because you're not watching something on Peacock right now, like, you just have forgotten about it, which I feel all the way, like, all the time about some of the things that I subscribe to.
Like, I guess, but I use all of my subscription services for different things. Like, and I watched when Peacock started.
What about Friends?
On HBO Max.
Oh.
That's what I use HBO Max for. Now I'm watching Big Shot, Hulu. I'm watching The Bold Type, Disney Plus. Like, I do when I have a movie night with Ben. Like, everything serves, when something gets trending on Netflix, everything serves a purpose. Peacock doesn't fit in there. I'm curious if I'm the only one. Like,
I just
know.
Watched the Downton movie on Peacock. I think that Yellowstone was on Peacock.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
I watched NYC Prep, like, when I first got Peacock, and it was just, like, not enough to keep me, even though it was really good.
LOL.
So that's our show, correct?
Yeah, that's our show. Nobody else's.
Don't get it twisted. Ooh, jinx. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing day, you guys. We will see you tomorrow.
Goodbye. 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 Bat, bat, boop, bat, bat, beep, bat.